Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Okay, let me guess. The weather's heating up, but your sex life, not so much. In this show, I'm walking through one easy way to keep things exciting and fresh in the bedroom. Plus, we got your emails, dirty talk gone wrong, disappearing orgasms, and so much more. Don't miss it. If you've listened to the show the last couple months, you've probably heard me talk about a unique product called the Womanizer. A while back, the owners of the company asked if they could send me one to test out, which, of course, you know me, I agreed to it. I own and review a lot of toys, and I was fairly confident I've tried every category product around. But I was wrong. The Womanizer was designed in Germany, and unlike anything else on the market, it indirectly stimulates the clitoris using suction. It's kind of like a sexy ear thermometer. It has a silicone cylinder on the face that you place over your clitoris, kind of like how a partner might use their mouth. And while it's on, you can vary the suction and move it around to create an amazingly intense experience. In fact, most women in their focus group achieved orgasm in 1 minute. That's right, a 60-second orgasm. You can just knock it out if you want. So I tried the Womanizer, and they weren't kidding. It's amazing. The suction is adjustable, and you can position it to create so many different sensations. The Womanizer is really in a category of its own, and I suggest you check it out for yourself. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Womanizer banner for more information.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all the podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, which you should totally do. We have a new website. Everything's better there. And also, thanks everyone for subscribing on iTunes and for reviewing the show and for telling your friends so they can enjoy the show. And while you're at it, doing all that fun stuff, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram across the board. And now Snapchat. I'm totally into Snapchat. Right, Anderson? Do you understand Snapchat? I'm going to snap this.
No, I don't. I can't do Snapchat.
It's a little confusing.
I can't.
It's like another
brain.
Thing.
And by the time I learn it, the kids will be on to something new. So.
Well, I had like a weird 10 minutes the other day where I've been on it, but I didn't really like, they don't tell you anything. It's all kind of mysterious. But I sat there because I couldn't get into my house. I was locked out. And I sat in my car and I looked at it and I was like, okay, I'm focusing. And then I got it and I understand it because it's actually really cool that you can do, because oftentimes I'll have ideas or things that happen throughout the day. I'm like, this would be a really funny tweet or I should tell everyone this. And then I don't remember and I write it down and then it goes away. But if you just snap it in the moment, there's your story. There's your day. It does go away after 24 hours, but you can capture moments in time.
But I'm all into
interesting stories.
I'm into filmmaking and stuff that lasts forever. So it also seems
you could download it.
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
I know you got mad at me once because I was talking badly about Snapchat.
Oh, right.
So I try not to talk about it.
Oh, why am I even bringing it up? Say, I even forget what we're talking about.
Snapchat, love it.
Okay, but this is, I just want to say happy masturbation month. We're into May now. So this is a big month for not only the Sex with Emily family, but all of you, because all month long, we've got lots of great stuff planned as we usually do. We're going to do a lot of giveaways. Because you're going to need those toys and products. And we're doing a Get Tight for Summer giveaway, which is a contest to encourage you all to work on your pelvic floor health and to strengthen it. And so check out the website for more details. It's for 30 days. We'll be giving away stuff. And we want to know how you self-love. How do you masturbate? Tell us your stories. Feedback at sexwithemily.com for your masturbation routine. I want to know. What do you do? Do you like candles? Guys don't like candles. No. You just flip on the porn. You lock the bathroom door. We'll choose our favorite submissions to win some pretty great masturbation-friendly prizes. You know what that is. Some fleshlights, maybe. Some sex toys.
Fleshlights, probably, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
A third hand.
Yeah, and also, we've been doing great shows lately. If I do say so show myself, say so much. I told you, Anderson, I can't fucking talk. Two shows a week, and one we did was Spring Cleaning Your Love Life, Anderson. That was a really popular show about, you know, when it's time to break up, Do you have to reevaluate, you know, your relationship, your sex life, clean out your closets and do all that? So do it with your relationship. How do you know if it's time to break up? I think we give you some great tips in there. People really like that, Anderson.
How many relationships do you think we successfully ended?
In that?
Yeah. I'd like to say at least 12 people.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I hope people that were ready to end it.
12 couples, 24 people.
24 people. Yeah. I want to know, actually.
I'd like to think that somebody is still crying right at this very moment because of that show.
Because they got dumped. But you know what? Remember, when the relationship ends, there's always a reason for it, and there's always something better for you around the corner. So if you're suffering, we've also done shows. Our next show is going to be how to get over a breakup, but I just hope it got you thinking.
I'm not going to do that show with you.
Why? We didn't choose more.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know if I'm scheduled for that one.
Well, let's schedule.
Because I'm really good at getting over breakups. Yeah.
Well, you're already scheduled then. How do you do it?
Oh no, we're gonna save it for the show.
Fine.
But I've had my heart broken so many times that I'm like a bit of a love addict, and I've learned little tricks.
Is it to get you got to get under to get over? Is that one of them?
What?
Have you never heard that?
You gotta get
under to get over.
You gotta go out and bang. That doesn't always help. No.
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 You're not going to tell me? Okay, fine. You're already scheduled.
Mind tricks.
With
and
the
a lot of
to get her back?
No. You got to give up.
Is this your, like, you
if
envision
over,
that she's dead and you went to her funeral?
No, it's not quite that bad. Well, no, but I do have some good little tricks.
Okay.
This
is a good teaser.
In case I can't be a part of your show, here's one that really, really worked. In case you schedule it with
managers.
Okay, we need
to talk about why. Okay.
I might not be able to schedule it with you. Whatever. Because like things are changing around here.
We'll
you know
talk
what
about
I,
that in a minute.
All right, but here's what I did a couple times ago, and it really helped, and I used it twice, and it really, really helped. I saw how pathetic I was being, how heartbroken and sad and wallowing and just like, and just fixated.
Obsessed.
Obsessed, yeah. And then I imagined a woman out there who was going to end up to be my wife. And I imagined that she could like look down, be like omnipotent, and stare down at my plight and just kind of look at me pitifully and shamefully. And I felt embarrassed. And I'm like, she's out there. And I would stop right at that moment. I would like shape up a little bit. And I wouldn't want to be embarrassed in front of the woman that I knew I was going to end up marrying, whether I had married or met her or not.
Wow.
And it ended up being Jillian, who I'm married to now, and she's pregnant. And yeah, if she saw me like wallowing over some of these ridiculous breakups back in my past, she would have been laughing at me and going like, you're pathetic. What are you doing?
That's interesting. So that really got you. I think visualization.
It really, really helps.
And when you can even just think about what you want in
your
next
partner.
Like,
I've lost 20 pounds over relationships. I've like just stopped eating, stopped sleeping. I've had times.
I know. We've all gone through that. And I think it's the most important thing is to see what you've learned. You know, a lot of times there's anger. We want that person to apologize or see what they did wrong. And you can go through that. That's fine. But I think, you know, it is important to just also give yourself time to heal from it and to think about what you learned in the relationship. Because what I found in most relationships are, yeah, a lot of them end. Everything's going to end eventually, right? We're all going to die. But you do learn from relationships. You learn the most about yourself in a relationship. And so you can think, well, what worked for me there? What didn't work for me? And what am I going to take into the next relationship? But also, like you said, picturing, like, what kind of partner do you want? What do they look like? What's their values? Like, to really, like, write that stuff down. I mean, you manifest
Instead
that
of
person
just
in your
picking
life.
Picking up whatever comes along,
exactly.
Which happens so often.
Oh, my God. I used to do that.
I was at Disneyland a couple days ago, and I saw tons of people that obviously have just settled. They've settled on their partners. They've settled on life. They've just settled. They're wheeling around with their obese bodies on
they just gave up.
Scooters. You know, like the adult scooters. Like they're like kind of wheelchairs, but they're painted red and they got three wheels. You know those?
Yeah.
And then they got
they're all Disneyland.
With the Disneyland, like I'm with her. He's with me. Like with the Mickey Mouse fingers pointing. Ugh.
Ugh.
So
God,
much settling going
Disneyland.
On, guys. Figure out what you deserve and what you want. And
it's
go for
so
it.
True. I think that there's no reason to settle. And just remember, also, the hardest thing to do is to end a relationship, too, because the easy thing to do is stay into it. And settling and staying in a bad situation is easy. That's the easier choice because it's scary to leave something or to try something new. So, you know, go towards the fear, people. That's where you grow. So, Anderson, let's talk about why you're thinking that you're not going to be on another show, which isn't true. But
I wasn't saying that. I just like you've already got one scheduled here coming up.
I
soon.
Do.
I'm gonna. Well, you just said breaking up.
Well, I didn't schedule it yet. I just thought about it. We did the. How do you know it's time to break up? We didn't schedule it yet.
I'm gonna be out of town
my
for
brain.
A week, and we're both gonna be out of the studio forever. Very
so,
soon.
So yeah. Okay. So I've been doing Loveline guest co-hosting Loveline Radio Show. If you don't know what it is, it's been around for 30 plus years.
Yep.
And Anderson has been the engineer of Loveline for 17 years. And we just announced last week that Loveline's going off the air. And so it's over. And it's sad. It's the end of an era. I mean, the show has helped a lot of people, and Anderson's been here for a long time.
I was like in my early 20s when I started.
Wow.
It's weird. Yeah.
That is so weird, Anderson.
Mid 20s, yeah.
And then you, I mean.
I've grown up with the show, and the show's really done a lot for me, and I've been very fortunate. It was supposed to be the job to put me through college, and then I went through college, and I could never let go of Loveline.
Like, why is
it's
that?
Like a relationship.
It is. It's kind of like you're breaking up with Loveline right now.
And I always wanted to leave Loveline before Loveline left me, so I didn't. I failed, but I'm not necessarily really sad about that. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this new chapter, as cliche as that sounds. But it saved me so much heartache, and I've learned so much, and it's kept me out of trouble, you know, being in here 5 nights a week.
Right, you can't.
The prime time of where I used to get in trouble before Loveline, 10 to midnight is where I go out and start stirring stuff up.
Wow, so for 17 years, 5 nights a week. Well, it hasn't been 5 nights a week, was it, since you started?
It's been 5 nights a week for me, yeah, since I began.
So you literally have not missed a night?
I've never called in sick, ever. And I've had vacations, and I go to that camp. I'm a counselor at a camp every summer, but I've never ever like said, "Hey, I can't make it tonight," or "I'm feeling sick."
I've been doing it with Dr. Drew, like every night for a month, 5 nights a week for about a month, and I'm going insane. Like I can't sleep. Like I don't know how. So you should be commended. But also, Anderson, I think that you said you wanted to leave before. You wanted to leave it, but
I used to have like drop dead dates. Like if I'm not out of here by July 1st, 2002, I am a loser. What's wrong with you, Anderson?
Really?
Yeah, I used to have those. But then I would never go out and try and like find another job.
Right. You're like, oops, it's July 1st. But let me just say this, Anderson, when you're talking about, you know, visualizing that way, what about the next? You already know Anderson is a prolific filmmaker right now. He did 6 shorts last year.
I did five. I've been tinkering with movies for a long time.
And he has a script coming out. You have 2 very successful podcasts. The After Zest 3. Sorry. Excuse me. After Zaster, the Film Vault, and Cinematics. So you have a lot going on. People are interested in your script. I just feel like, I feel like this about relationships as well. It all sounds so cliche, but when one door closes, another one opens. And that for you, it's like, it's almost like the show had to end. So this is going to be your year. Like, I know this.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it's not even like you just sit and visualize your future job looking at you and looking at you pathetic, because your future job is already here. You've already written it. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that you know, it is sad that this ends, but you actually are doing it.
I'm excited about
it.
I'm excited for you too, because I mean, you're definitely going to be able to focus more on your other endeavors as well. Loveline was such a sweet, fun, beautiful mistress, and I think that a lot of us were conquered by her allure. And it's kind of nice that she's going off into the distance, and we can focus on.
It's true.
Our other
helped
stuff.
So many people, and I'm honored just to have sat here and been a part of it.
But, I'll be very sad though if you and I lose touch.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I just signed. This is a big week for me. I just signed a lease on a new office, and it's 3 times the size of our current office, which our current office is only 300 square feet. It's very small. But it's a studio. But now it's a bigger place, and we're building a studio in the office, Anderson. So that means we can work around your schedule, if you will.
Nice.
And you can come in whenever.
My schedule's pretty free these days.
I know. I still have a crazy life. I mean, mine still is crazy, but coming in here every night has been insane. So we'll be doing shows.
Let's get on with the program. But it's funny when you said prolific filmmaker, because I made 5 shorts last year. I saw this documentary about the making of the island of Dr. Moreau earlier in the week, and I talked about it on Cinematics. That's out this week. That's available right now. But it's the guy that directed that. I looked up his credits on IMDb. He's directed 159 things. And it just made me feel like such a loser.
You don't think we can all...
And I've never heard of him. 159 things.
Right. That stuff doesn't matter. Comparing yourself to others, you
imagine
will always
like
fail.
Looking. That's how you must feel like when you see Houston's 500, right? The chick that had sex with 500 people.
Yeah,
at once,
exactly.
Right?
I'm like,
you're like, how? I could never.
I could have done that. No, I don't ever. I actually. I don't. Right. I wish I did that. I don't compare myself to others. I do other very destructive things, but we can always look at stuff like that and say we can always feel worse about ourselves.
How do you not? I think everyone compares themselves to everybody else.
Because I never think that, I always think, you know what, I could never be them and they could never be me. I'll never be as good at being Anderson as Anderson is being himself. And you'll never be me. And I just feel like we all have our own gifts. I don't know. I just really don't do that.
With Anderson, I see something here.
I think maybe that's in part of it. Like people at the beginning, they're like, well, what if someone takes your idea? And there's like, they do like sex with Amy or something. I'm like, so what? Like, I remember thinking even early on when I did not know what was going to happen in the show, I thought, well, well, that'll be Amy. Like, that won't be Emily. And I think that it is really destructive because it's another way that we try to, like, hold ourselves back and we use fear and we think that everyone else is so successful and you know, we're not, but we're all just have our own paths.
I think for you and I, too, to get a little distance from Dr. Drew is going to be good because you can never feel good about yourself when you're
with
Dr. Drew every fucking night.
Like,
with him.
I could answer this question from the caller, but
I did five shows just this afternoon. I was on five television programs, did three podcasts, and I saw like nine patients this morning. Let's take some calls.
Well, here's the thing, and I do that with friends too.
Like I got out of bed at noon.
Yeah, my friend texted me and she said, "Should I feel like a loser? I've been in the house. It's Saturday. I've been in the house for 2 hours. I haven't gone out. I've been home for 2 hours during the day." And I'm thinking, I feel good when I leave the house for 2 hours on a Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so different. She's so type A and gets all this stuff done. And I just think we're all different.
He's got to make it work for you.
And accept your own path. And that's another thing I learned this year, in the last few years, is that I think I do. I'm hard on myself about things. I think I should be more efficient or better at this or that. And I think, you know what? When you can, just learn to accept that this is your own path and this is who you are and this is how you do life, it's so much easier. Still not there yet, but I'm working on it. It's getting better.
You're an inspiration now.
Oh my God, dude. Thank
What's the topic?
Now you want to get in the show, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fine. Okay, first, sex in the news. I got to do this one because I found this very interesting. And also, actually, this is a comparison and I felt kind of bad. Mm. Researchers reveal the 12 most sexually satisfied countries. We're not on the list.
We are not.
We're not even on it. 12.
Of course we're not.
This depresses me.
It's going to be like the Scandinavian countries. People are beautiful.
Switzerland. Number one.
Oh, yeah. I was just there.
Yeah? Were they sexually satisfied?
You know what? Everyone was inside. I saw very few people on the streets.
See? Well, was it winter or was it?
No, it was October.
Banging.
Early October.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're inside banging.
Yeah, they probably are. So it says, despite the age, what does it say here? Mexicans describe their sex life as fulfilling, with just under half feeling regularly satisfied. With the top five countries having a sexual satisfaction rate above 50%, is it time to move abroad? So here they are. Number one, or should we start at the bottom? I already said Switzerland, but I'm going to start at number 12. Because that's how you do lists.
It.
China.
Wait. So they're
sexually satisfied.
They're number 10?
Number 12.
Number 12.
It's China. I'll do this quickly, Leo. Number 11, Germany. 10, Nigeria. 9, Australia. I thought that would have been more up, but they just seem like they're always having a good time.
Yeah.
8, India. 7, Mexico. 6, the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. 5, Greece. Oh. Very sexy country.
Passionate people.
4, Brazil. Mm. Same thing. This all makes sense. 3, Italians.
Yeah.
Italy. Number 2, Spain. 1, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And I was just bummed that we weren't. I mean, you know why? I think Americans, we've really messed up sex with the proliferation of porn and sex addiction and meds
puritism.
And drugs. And yeah, puritism and judgments, but yet so much porn. And also, I think meds, we're such an over-medicated society that I think that even birth control pill that women aren't told that, guess what, your libido's taking a nosedive because of the pill. Or I don't know what it is, but we're not happy.
So
I'm moving to Italy.
How did they conduct this study? They just asked people how satisfied they were?
Yeah, and I was like, well, what was their criterion for satisfaction?
Yeah, maybe they're just more positive countries.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe they just have a half glass full.
I know, I was reading this, but it's an alternate study. It says that they did the most. UK was beaten by Greece. See, they don't get into it. Okay, Italy came in third, recently named as the home of the top lovers in the world. Brazil in fourth place. They said that they have sex once a week. Spain said 90%. Yeah, maybe they are just more positive about sex. But I just, I know I said the same thing. How do you measure satisfaction? But I guess that was the question. And I just want everyone to, if you're competitive, then step up your sex game. So thanks for listening to the show.
Step it up.
That's what I'm trying to do here, people. Okay. Now we're going to give a little shout out to our sponsors and we'll be right back. So when was the last time an app changed your sex life? And no, I'm not talking about Tinder. I'm talking about my app, Kegel Camp. It will increase your control, improve your sexual performance, and help you experience incredibly intense orgasms. Plus, if you've had a baby, Kegel Camp is the answer to getting your, you know, vagina back in shape. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. After years of telling you about the importance of Kegel exercises, it occurred to me, I need a better way to help you do them properly. And after a lot of development and some intense Kegel workouts, Kegel Camp was born. Kegel Camp is fun and easy to use and is, of course, incredibly effective. It provides simple step-by-step prompts that lead you through 20 levels of progressively intense workouts. The app tracks your progress, rewarding you with satisfaction of each new achievement and with Kegels of Steel. And guys, don't think you're exempt from needing a good Kegel workout. Strong pelvic floor muscles are just as important for men as they are for women. Regular Kegel Camp workouts can help you last longer, give you stronger erections, and more powerful orgasms. I hear from Kegel campers every day. They send me screenshots when they reach the next level, and many of them have reached level 20. I'm not even at level 20. Download Kegel Camp today from the iTunes App Store or by clicking on the Kegel Camp banner on sexwithemily.com today. I'll see you at camp. Okay, everyone, we've got a little mini topic here for you. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. And, okay, you're always asking me about how do I keep my sex life interesting? How do I, you know, keep it spicy and hot and sexy because we've been together for 6 months, 6 years, and it's no longer what it was at the beginning. We talk about this a lot, and, you know, I give lots of tips. But today I'm going to hone in on one that, before you roll your eyes, I'm going to explain it to you, and that is role-playing.
Rolling eyes.
Okay? You're going to think, oh, it's weird. That's embarrassing. That's awkward. Like, I'm not going to be the pizza delivery guy, and, like, she's waiting, you know, there for me, and I'm not going to, you know, be the schoolgirl. Like, that's so cliche, and that's so uncomfortable, and that's so awkward, and how could I ever do it? But you don't have to be like the French maid. You don't have to dress up and all that. I'm going to give you little tips of how you can do this, and I'm telling you, it's a lot easier than you think. Play a little game with your partner, like we're talking about playing mind games. Anderson, sometimes you just got to put yourself in another state. Well, think about life, right? If you get a new car or you get a new TV, like what to you, right? Getting new things, novelty, exciting, right?
Right.
Okay, same with your sex life. So why has your sex life gone stale? I'll tell you. One of the key ingredients that was there in the beginning is the novelty. The novelty is when it's new and fresh. That's the early sex. Everything is new. Everything exciting. They smell so good. Their body feels amazing. No one's ever kissed you like this. And then you settle into a long-term relationship, and that's great because you have stability and you have a deeper love and connection and comfort. But the problem is comfort and predictability cancels out novelty and newness and excitement. So that's why it's often hard to maintain. So when it's gone in the relationship, that's the reason why you don't have sex, because you don't feel like you have anything new to look forward to. You know exactly what's going to happen next. Okay, here's the part where he comes home, he kisses me for 2 seconds, and then I take his clothes off, and then it's over in 5 minutes, and we resume Netflix. Okay, so that's why you need to spice it up. Here's how. It's okay if you haven't taken, like, an acting lesson, or, like, you loathe Halloween, or, like, role-playing sounds like your biggest nightmare. Because the good news is it doesn't require, like, costumes or, like, the crazy bells and whistles or, like, sexy French accents. Unless you want to, because you might find that you really like it and then you want to take it to the next level. You can create that same thrill, hear me out, of being with someone new while still being with your current sex partner. Just take on a new role. And you don't have to be the doctor. Like, hello, nurse. Can you pass me these charts? What do doctors say? You can just play yourself, but in different scenarios that your partner can relate to. So how do you bring this up? You're thinking, like, how am I going to do this? I don't know what you're talking about. You could just suggest, first of all, listen to the show together. You know, a lot of couples listen to the show. Or sometimes one person listens to the show and they tell their partner about it. Listen to it together. Be like, you know, I heard this interesting thing. That could help. You should definitely bring it up beforehand. You know, whether it's obviously have to, because if you're just like... I've been a very bad girl
today. Like, out of the blue?
Yeah, like, you're probably so confused.
You
like, what?
Catch them off guard?
You catch them off guard. You can't do that. So the next time...
They'll probably start laughing.
They
would
laugh.
You don't want to begin with a laugh.
But here's the thing. You're going to laugh sometimes. When anything's new, it's going to be uncomfortable. But bring it up before, whether it's, like, during, like, you know, when you're, like, already occurring, you know, when you're already having sex and you're like, oh, you know, it'd be sexy. Or, you know, bring up a whole new topic. And then the next time you're in the bedroom, you could say, hey, remember we were talking about that role play thing? Let's do it. And again, no matter how I tell you how to start it, it still might be awkward, but you're going to get through that and you're going to be like, wow, Emily, thank you. And I can't wait for those emails. So here's the first one. Ready? Sexy stranger. For this scenario, all you got to do is pretend you don't know each other, which actually shouldn't be that hard because there was a time where you didn't know each other. And there was a time when you first met and your eyes locked across the room or locked across Tinder when you swiped on each other's photo. I don't know. But it's not such a stretch. So spend your time apart during the day. Maybe you live together, maybe you don't, but it's like, make sure you don't see each other if you can, for as long as possible. And make a plan to meet up somewhere. And when you get there, these are the rules. You got to act like you're complete strangers, that you don't know each other, and your eyes will lock across the room. Maybe you send over a drink and you introduce yourself like it's like the very first time you met. Like, so think about it. Like, hey, and I know you think you can laugh, but if one of you cracks, it's fine. Just try to stay with the role. Does it seem silly? Can you see doing this?
I've never tried this, but I feel like I'd be good at it, but I think I'd be really awkward and weird with it.
It is awkward and weird at first, but I'm telling you, I've actually done it. I didn't go out of the bar, but we did it like as a, like he started it and I was like, wait, because I can kind of roll with things. So I'm and then I got into it. I'm like, this is kind of hot.
What was his deal?
His deal was like, so do you have that sex show? We were walking home. We were in LA, walking back to his house from somewhere. I think we were getting a bottle of wine. He was like, so, how long have you been doing the sex show? And I kind of got like, what do you mean? He's like, no, really. And we got into this whole thing and it was really hot. It was like, he first met me. He's like, so do you guys think you're kind of slutty? And it was like, and it was so friggin' hot because we played this whole thing. What about you? You're a, what should I say? Is I don't want to say. You're a,
well, astronaut.
Accountant. I could not
accountant.
That's really hot the way you crunched the numbers.
Accountant.
So you're an actor. I always thought actors were really kind of cheesy. I actually assumed you were dumb when I met you because you're good looking, but you're stupid. So we got to say all these really funny things that actually weren't true. And then it just, I got to kind of be myself, but not myself, and present it again in a way where I already know that he likes me. So I got to kind of bring up all my best parts. Because you know when you first start dating, it's like they always say like you're dating someone's representative.
Yeah.
Because we don't always reveal everything. So think of those things that you first found attractive in your partner. And, you know, chat them up. Try to prolong it as long as you can. And even if you both laugh and fall out of character every once in a while, that's fine. But it's like a new game. You're creating a new scenario together. And I'm telling you, it's hot and it works. It's easy. You're going to go to a bar anyway. You're going to go to a restaurant. You could have a whole meal.
You ever watch that show, Modern Family?
Yes.
They the two leads, there's a lot of leads in that, but Phil and his wife, I can't remember her name. What is her name? What's her name? Julie Bowen plays.
Right, right.
Anyways, they have that recurring sex role playing that they do. It's happened probably 3 or 4 episodes, and they meet at a hotel, and they always get dressed in different clothes, and they pretend like they're just meeting at the hotel bar.
That's so funny.
It always goes poorly, though. Someone always ends up naked in the hall.
That's hilarious. Because that could happen, but it's a good story. Modern Family's funny. See, Modern Family's interesting because, like, my nieces watch it, but there's, like, sex on. Do you think they understand that it's about role-playing? Now I'm worried about my nieces.
No, they're fine. It's all tame. Am I overthinking this? Worried about some girl, females, women out there, males too, but I could see this going south with an insecure girlfriend saying, why do I have to pretend to be somebody else?
No, you're being yourselves.
You're being yourself. Okay, so reiterate.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to say that my ex is profession and I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, because I was going to say it because I'm bad at lying.
You didn't want
to
say.
So he said to me, we were walking home and he said, so how long have you been? I don't remember. He said something
so
like.
The way you do it is you play yourselves.
We play yourselves.
Yeah, okay.
You play yourselves, which is totally easy to do because there was a time when you were new to each other and you're like, okay, so you do that love line. You know, it's like, how long have you been doing that? What kind of calls do you hear on there? And it's like you get into that role and it's kind of fun because we all like talking about ourselves and yeah, you're just playing yourself like you first met again. You're paying strangers to
because there is like the next level where you're playing completely different people.
I've got 4 scenarios
I'm sorry.
Here. Ready?
Okay, good.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that another great tool is I have a book called Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. It came out like 4 years ago. Anderson has it. He keeps it in his bedroom. But you can flip open to any page and it's a pretty cool book because it can just, again, you don't have to do the talking, but it can guide you through different scenarios that are in there as well. Okay, the next one is like mock makeup sex. Anyone can do this. You get in a fight, things are all heated, and then you have makeup sex. Do you do this, Anderson? Are you a fighter?
I'm afraid I argue quite a bit. Yes.
And do you have makeup sex?
I've gotten much better with the marriage because
with
I don't try and win the fights. I just try and come to an agreement or an understanding so we can avoid that fight. I never want to have the same fight twice.
Oh, good.
Whereas before everyone else,
in the
I always
past,
wanted
though,
to win.
Would you have like, because the thing is, sex after a fight is like always hot and super charged.
It's nice
fiery.
Because it's like the exact opposite of where you just were, but you still have that pent up energy and
exactly.
You realize that you're past the bad part.
Right. It's almost like you get that newness again. And you get that like thrill because you thought it could have been over and you get that jolt, right?
Yeah.
So you could fake.
You can even use it to get out of fight sometimes. Like if you guys are really not seeing eye to eye and you can't get anywhere. You can be like, let's just cut to the chase. Let's get to the makeup sex. And sometimes that actually fixes it.
Exactly. So you could have a fake, fight. So the thing, yeah, because the thing is when you fight and then you make up, it's hot, supercharged, all that. And this is because like you've worked through whatever issue you guys were fighting about. And as a result, you guys feel closer, you feel connected, right? You feel safe. Mm-hmm. And that is hot makeup sex, which I have to realize I'm not a fighter. I'm not a really big fighter, but I know the energy in it. So I know the breakup. I know sleeping with my ex energy. So let's just say that. That it's like you broke up, but you didn't, or we don't see each other for a while. We have mini fights. But good news, you don't have to really get into an argument. You can create like a stupid argument, okay? You could say like, you could say something like inconsequential, like, you know what the best cereal is all time, my favorite movie of all time. I don't care how stupid the fight is, but sometimes these fake feuds can kind of boil, reach a boiling point, and they can like resemble a real argument and have a little fight. Have a funny fight. Get out your energy. Maybe you feel like
fighting. So you're
saying
like pick a fight?
Pick a fake fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Why? It could escalate into something
else. Volatile.
But pick it up for something that's like little. Like I think that you know, and you guys kind of know that you're joking.
So
like,
you get
this
the fake
best
fight,
movie.
So you can have the fake
exactly,
makeup.
You get the fake makeup sex.
Okay.
And depending on what you fought about, you know, real or fake, you can kind of set that tone of the like the interaction.
That's
so if it was
dicey.
Like a heated, angry fight, you can make tender, loving sex to make up for it.
That's like pretend to throw your car keys off the cliff. Pretend.
Exactly.
But you never know. You could slip. You could slip into a real fight.
I think you want to do it when you guys are at a good place. And if you've never even had a fight, sometimes this is fun, too. You can just kind of make up. Well, you know, I'm
sure if you've never had a fight, you guys aren't going to make it.
That's true.
Right?
You got to fight. Fighting in relationships is super healthy. And I realize that I never really... Well, no, I have been in relationships, but it's usually towards the end. But that's the same reason I can't be mean to callers. I mean, I think I have to be better with anger.
Yeah.
I have to get mad at people more often.
No, I don't think so. Unless
no, I tend to blame
are
myself,
you holding
though.
It all up?
Well, I don't think... I think that... I think
you don't
I
have
do.
It in you. You're not that type of person, Em.
I'm not, no, but I think oftentimes I can always see both sides of things.
Yes.
So even if I'm going to get mad, I'm like, well, I think I always see my part. Because I think oftentimes a fight, like to think that you're always... I'm definitely... There's a lot of people in the world who walk around thinking they're always right.
Right.
I'm certainly not. I'm like, I can see my part.
I am always right. I'm one of those. Which
I can't
sucks.
Believe we get along. I know, but I'm always like,
because
everyone
else is wrong, and I hate being surrounded by everyone who's always wrong. It's really difficult.
I know
existence.
It must be really hard for you. I'm glad that you just put up with me, your time with me, even knowing that you're just terribly wrong.
You're.
Okay. Here's a third one. Control playing. So if you guys have settled, you're in a relationship, and you kind of are in comfortable roles, one of you might be a little more submissive in bed, and the other one's a little more dominant. And maybe one of you initiates sex all the time and, you know, the other one doesn't. And I have to tell you, one of the biggest complaints I hear often from men is that their partner, women, don't initiate sex enough. And I'm not saying that men can't initiate sex more often. So to do a switch here. So if you're typically more reserved during sex, you can make more demands. You know, you could say something like, I want you to go down to me for 40 minutes. And that might be what I would say. Or you can start with something like, take off my dress or kiss my neck if you're not comfortable with it. But just switch roles. And again, you're going to think, how am I going to tell my partner this? Well, right now, if you're having sex, it's not that interesting or it's the same thing. How hard is it to say, but you know what? I heard this show or let's try this. Or like, you know what? I'm going to initiate sex tonight. Or you always tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you this one thing I've always wanted, even if it is massage my feet.
What you're saying is like make a deal. Like make a deal with the person, with your partner. Say anything I say you have to do and then we'll flip it.
Exactly.
This is very different than what I thought you were going to talk about dressing up like the pizza guy. I did.
No, for exactly. That's why I was like, everyone's going to roll their eyes and turn off the podcast. Not that at all. So like, you could also like assume each other's like sexual personalities, you know, like if your person's like big on oral, they'd probably love it if you were big on oral. It's kind of control play. So you're flipping your control, you're flipping your roles and, try being dominant. It's hard because I'm more submissive, but like when you're dominant, you think you always think you can't, and then you do it, and you're like, oh wow, that was different. That was fun. I like it. You're never going to regret.
You got to try things that are uncomfortable.
You're not going to regret trying something new sexually. And then the last one, I love this one, fancy fantasy. So at a certain point in every relationship, you're wearing t-shirts, right? You're wearing your sweatpants. You're hanging around the house. You're not doing anything that sexy, but we all have those outfits that we're like, oh, sometime we'll go out, we'll get dressed up, we'll do this fun thing. So the last one, I'm going to call this a fancy fantasy. So at a certain point in a relationship, we've all been there when we're just wearing sweatpants and we're not getting dressed up and we're not making efforts. And we tend to forget like, oh, like he looks great in a suit or she looks nice when she gets all dressed up. And we all know also for ourselves, like I have these things. I'm like, I brought this dress, this super sexy dress that makes me feel amazing, but I have nowhere to wear it. I never wear it out. I just wear jeans and whatever. So if you guys, in your relationship, you plan something, like maybe it's once a month or once every few months, and you're like, we're going to go out tonight, we're going to dress up, and we're going to go to like a restaurant, something like, save, you know, nice restaurant or go to a concert, and save up for something. So it's like a night where you can dress up and you can like be
fancy
people.
Yeah.
And also, if you're like, we have no money to go out, then friggin' do it at home. Because sometimes when you wear something that makes you feel good and sexy, it will actually reflect that in your, it will... When you wear something that makes you feel good and sexy,
I've heard that from you ladies, yeah.
It's true, though. Like, the laundry guys, I got like, guy I don't friends like are lingerie.
Like, I got a guy friend, my best friend's a lawyer. He can't conduct business unless he's wearing a suit on the phone. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
But it's kind of true. Fake it till you make it, dress the part. I think it's true. When I sit home, when I didn't have an office and I was home all day, like, it kind of bummed me out. Like, it does. So when I get dressed up, put on makeup, you feel better. Mm-hmm. So it's also for you, and it's something to look forward to. And you get to look at each other feeling the best and doing something fun for yourself.
And you know what
else?
Because
you guys deserve it. Don't save. Don't save. You, people who save money for a rainy day, like, you could freaking die. You could get hit by a bus.
Yeah, yeah. You got to live life to its fullest and seize the day, carpe diem. But if you take your lady out or your guy out too, and you get all dressed to the nines, as they say, and you go to an event or a concert or a dinner or anything, you'll notice too that like other people might be checking out your significant other, and it makes them sexier in that very moment.
It does,
like,
right?
It doesn't make you jealous unless you got it's a toxic relationship. If you got a healthy relationship and you see like other guys checking out your lady, you're like, yep. And I'm
guys love that, don't they? Mm-hmm. Never gets old. Mm-hmm. The guy wants her. And
it does
her.
When you're dating a bartender.
Because everyone wants her.
Yeah, it just sucks with
what
like
was
the
it, stripper. What was it?
It goes whole hooker, stripper, bartender, hairdresser. That's that from my experience.
Your experience of women who
the
I'm
ladies
not saying
who
I agree
like
you.
Attract the certain types. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. I'm not. No. No. No.
That are difficult to date and feel like you're in a trusting.
Have you dated one in each category?
Never dated a hooker. I've had a hooker in my car, but I've never dated one.
Okay. Hooker she was in your car? Like, were you giving?
I was
in
bumper to bumper traffic on Hollywood Boulevard trying to get to my friend's gig. And this hooker, her name was Princess, I'll never forget. And she says, I know where you're going. I'm like, no, you don't. And it was just bumming. I was yelling out the window because I was so frustrated and stuck in traffic. And then she's like, I'll show you where you're going. And she hopped in my car. I'm like, why are you in my car?
Oh my God.
She's like, I just need to ride 2 blocks. I'm like, you could walk much faster than me. And then she started like waving to like her pimp that was going by. I'm like, stop it. He's going to think I'm a trick.
That is amazing. That is a good short film.
It was terrifying.
Wait, that's actually a good short film.
And then I dropped her off 2 blocks later, which was about 15 minutes later. And I said, bye, Princess. Nice meeting you. And I felt like my car was solid.
I needed
a new car.
It probably was.
She was cute. She was pretty.
We tempted? Was she like 15
no,
bucks?
No, she was very,
Got
not,
it.
Not okay. My type.
That's a good story, though. Hairdressers, though? Did you get for haircuts?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've dated a number of hairdressers.
Okay, so
I used
you
to
were
hang out at like a hair salon. Like, that was my hangout. Because there's nothing but good-looking ladies, and they're all, like, catty, and they'd all be staring at each other in those mirrors, like, behind each other's backs, just
so unhealthy.
Shit.
That's so toxic. See, that would...
It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh, God, Anderson, I'm so glad I know you as an adult. And that is, like, the Anderson whenever, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Okay, everyone, we're on to emails. Thank you for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. We've been getting some awesome emails. I have to say, the emails, we always get a lot, but we're getting a lot more, and I love it, love it, love it. Maybe it's because we launched our new website. It's so much easier now to ask a question.
Contact.
We've got an Ask Emily button. You just click on that, you write it, send a form, click send, and there it goes. I get it right there in my inbox.
Nice.
Okay. And email me and include your age, where you live, and how you listen. Is that our things?
That works.
And where you're from. Hi, Emily. New listener here. And I couldn't have started listening at a better time because I've recently experienced a new sexual experience and I don't know how I feel about it. My fiance and I have been together since 2010 and are to be married in November. We recently attended a friend's birthday party and needless to say, the drinks were flowing. At the end of the night, we were all over each other, which is normal after a few drinks. So we started engaging in hot sex and he starts talking really dirty to me. Normally, I'm really receptive to it. However, he brought up a friend we were hanging out with earlier that night. This mutual friend we have is, number one, gorgeous and young. Number two, an awesome person. And I'm normally open to dirty talk in this way. However, it made me feel really inadequate because he made it seem like he wanted to be with her. I didn't feel good afterwards. It almost felt wrong. Am I just being insecure or should I write off as a typical male fantasy? Thanks. Love your show. Lots of O's. Allie. So do you get this scenario here? So she's got her fiance. They've been together 6 years. They're getting married. Dirty talk. They go from a party. They see one of her friends. He's like, so what if Alicia was here right now? We were having a threesome, right? So I've said this before that I think if you... In a relationship, sometimes you don't want to have a threesome. It's kind of hot to talk about it, but you don't. Allie, you have every right here to feel kind of disturbed by this. I'm so glad you found my podcast because you do need it now. This is the thing about dirty talk. It can be great, but it can be a huge distraction when it goes wrong. So again, your feelings are totally valid. This would upset any woman. I'm upset. It would make them feel insecure, just as you're feeling and threatened by your friend, which you sound like, you know, you love your friend. She's a great girl, but you do not want, no one wants to hear their boyfriend talking about how hot anyone is, for that matter, and specifically your friend. So I'm sure this was not his intention. You know, it's inappropriate for him to bring up this other woman, especially something because you guys have never discussed it before. And there is a golden rule in threesomes that friends should just be off limits unless, you know, unless you guys discuss it and you're like, let's hook up with our friends. But I never think it's a good idea. And even in this fake threesome fantasy, that was a mistake. And it is a typical male fantasy. You are right. Two beautiful women. The problem is he took it too far. He took it too far. He mentioned her friend's name. Like, you can't do that, right, Anderson? Don't you know this, like, male code? Like, when you're with a girl, even the hairdressers, whoever you're with.
Now, this is a move you do with a girl you've been with for, like, 3 weeks. You know it's coming to an end soon. And, like, you trying, like, you know,
cause you're like,
swing for the fences. You don't do this with your six-year anniversary.
Exactly.
I mean, six-year relationship, fiance, get married. I mean, was he drunk?
Yeah, they were drunk. So they usually get drunk and talk dirty. Yikes. And this time it went too far.
Yeah.
So you gotta address it. And you gotta, you know, he included someone that you already know. So just tell him that it made you feel bad. It hurt your feelings. And tell him how it made you feel. When you are often having these communication discussions with your partners about anything, remember, you don't want to go on the attack. You want to say how things made you feel, because right. No one can argue with your feelings.
And hopefully she's strong enough to get past this and keep that friend as well.
Right.
It's going to be really hard for her to have both of these people in her
I
life
know,
forever.
Right. So I think also, Allie, if you've got the bigger questions and you want to know, like, hey, so are you hot for my friend?
Yeah.
You got to ask.
How good of a friend is this, I wonder? I wonder if she'd be willing to put on like 15, 20 pounds to become unattractive.
It's a mutual friend. It doesn't say, but you know.
Doubt she'd probably take one for the team, like cut her hair all off.
Right. Move.
Stop washing.
Exactly. Have a fake boyfriend. So I think you got to tell him made it feel bad and also address all the issues. Because you can't, if he
gotta
says, I'm sorry,
out.
Babe, I don't remember. I was drunk. When you gloss over things, they don't go away on their own. So you're going to have to know, is he attracted to her? Is there something more going on? You got
to
address
it. Oh, he's definitely attracted to her. But, you
I
know,
mean, right.
There's
well,
a possibility that he was, like, so drunk, he was, like, blackout drunk and just saying nonsensical things.
Right.
And that's not ideal, but that's one of the only ways
exactly.
you can get out of this unscathed.
Yeah, so just let him know. And, you know, like I said, I've had experience in threesomes with this guy, and it actually was a turn-on. It was the first time anyone had ever done that. And he was like, hey, so I'm picturing you with
Did
this
you marry
woman.
Him?
Yes, I married him, divorced him. No, but I should have. No, just kidding. I don't have any regrets. But it was like my most profound relationship as far as, I think it sexually opened me up in a lot of ways.
Mm.
And
but that's you. And this is, you know, you weren't in a relationship with this guy for 6 years about to get married.
No, this is what I'm saying is what he did was he did some nameless, faceless woman.
Right, right.
That was the God thing was when you're like, oh, there's another woman here.
Yeah.
She's doing this to you. She's doing that to you.
Oh, that's
when
playing.
It's okay.
I got you.
Yeah, it was more role playing. This naming the person in your friend is wrong. So you got to discuss it, and friends and acquaintances and all that should be off limits. So you should let them know he hurt you. Okay. Next email. Disappearing orgasm. There goes. Hate that shit. Hiya. My partner recently discovered how to give me clitoral orgasms from vibrators. We moved from a bullet vibe to a rabbit, and now we're up to the magic wand. The other night, he grabbed the rabbit for old time's sake, and I couldn't get off on it anymore. This happened to me before when we went from the bullet to the rabbit, and I'm worried that I'm ruining myself somehow, and that one day I won't be able to have any more orgasms. Does this happen? Thanks, confused Phoebe. Phoebe, this is a great question, because people always ask, oh, is a vibrator going to ruin me? And, you know, men wonder or think it's going to replace guys forever. No. Here's the thing. You just got to mix things up. But think about this. Let's say you want to get in shape, Phoebe, and you start running every single day, right? You run every day, and you lose weight, and you're psyched. You're like, progress. You keep running. And then what happens? You plateau. It's always happened. You stop seeing any results at all because your body gets used to it. That's why they say you got to cross train. You got to try different things. Orgasms, same exact way. So it's not that you're becoming desensitized, losing sensitivity. Your body is just getting used to that amount of vibration and pressure, and so it can't respond to anything else. It doesn't mean that it requires, I mean, right now your body's gotten used to it, but it doesn't mean like your orgasms are gone. It means you have to retrain your body. So take a break from the high intensity stimulation, not forever, you know? And this can be actually, this can be something fun you can do with your partner. So you can wean yourself off the vibrator and like up the foreplay. You can say like, okay, like, you know, he's going to go down on me or use his fingers or we're going to have sex and then we're going to bring in the toy. Or you can like use it for a few minutes at a lower level and then bring something else in. I mean, you just got to like switch up what you're using. You could also quit cold turkey if you want to try this. And because I'm sure you had orgasms before there were any vibrators, it sounds like you have. And just see, you know, like, don't beat yourself up and don't think, where is it, where is it, where is it? Because a lot of times it's our mind that's making these orgasms disappear, as you say. So just scale back, start trying these other things with your partner, because that's fun. Like, it gives you guys a chance to be more creative and explore other ways to get each other off. And when you step up the foreplay, you've proven that you can have a clitoral orgasm. So your boyfriend can get you there using his mouth or his hands. And once you just take off a little time, you will feel those orgasms come back. So, and then you'll remember, like, it's just, you got to just always mix it up. Use the bullet, use the rabbit, you know, just try, have sex without toys, because there's nothing wrong with toys. But again, just like your workout routine, you use the circuits and you lift weights and you don't only run because it helps you become in better shape, and same as sex. So always be mixing things up in the bedroom. And I think also with like masturbating and all that, like, that's why I'm always trying, guys, to get a fleshlight. Like, you do things the same way. And the other great thing about this, the final thing I'm going to say to you, Phoebe, is that I'll bet there's so many other ways that you can orgasm that you don't even know about. And because I know that, like, without using toys or using different kinds of things, I found that because it's my job. But I kind of always think of it, I've just like topped it and then like something else will happen. So there are, remember, 8,000 nerve endings in your clitoris, and it's not just a little button. It's labia and all those areas, that there are so many erogenous zones that I want you to have fun with this. And it's not that you like, the sense that something bad happened, it's like, wow, this is fun. I'm going to try something else. And I want you to email me when you have 18 orgasms from him touching your knee. Thanks, Phoebe. And thank you, Anderson.
Thank
That's
you,
what we got
Ems.
Time for. Yes. And of course, we're not. Dude, we're just beginning. Check out your podcasts. All that, After Zester.
Cinematics, After Zester, the Film Vault. If you want to be up to date, if you're a real film lover, that's Cinematics for you.
If you want more Anderson.
If you want entertainment and some knowledge, the Film Vault, which I've been doing with Brian for 8 years now.
Wow.
And then if you want just a good old time, Mike Carano and Tyler and I do
I
the After
them.
Disaster.
Those are the best people.
And yeah, people really respond. We just sold out the Improv again on Saturday. Yeah.
That's so fun. Okay. Well, congratulations. I love you, Anderson. And I love you all.
It was Thanks a small everyone
for okay. Hey, it was a dude, stop. Thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. For more than 30 years, Vibratex has understood that giving women options means more than offering a variety of colors. They know what feels good to you might not always feel good to someone else. And exploring your own self-pleasure is not only fun, but it's an important part of learning what works for you. And to help women explore, Vibratex was among the first to introduce toys that rotate and twist to stimulate all your sensitive areas. A favorite of mine is the Sugar Pop. And what makes the Sugar Pop so unique, is that it's like a belly dancer. It looks like motion that twirls its shaft and like spins around, and it hits you in all the right spots. It makes it even more irresistible is that it's got this really unique shape external vibrator for your clitoris. So it's got this belly shaky thing going on that goes inside you, and then you've got this clitoral thing that's just like dancing all over your clitoris, like just how you want it to. And it features 4 intensity levels, 5 vibration patterns, and 5 rotation patterns. And so there's all these ranges, like you can customize your sensations. So you can be like, oh, I want this to go faster, this to go slower. And it's splash proof. And it's made of Vibratex's supple and 100% body safe elastomer. So if you want a unique experience you can have with a vibrator, I suggest you give the Sugar Pop a twirl. Got it? Because it twirls. The Sugar Pop is just one of more than 50 unique Vibratex products available for you. So go to Vibratex.com to see the full selection or learn more about the Sugar Pop. Thanks for listening.